We're all born with the ability to hear God. He tells us, "My sheep hear my voice." The ability to hear him must still be learned and matured. Join my pastor, Robert Morris, as he teaches us hearing God is not something you do. It's someone you are.
So I want you to turn to John chapter 10. I want to begin to introduce this first message to you. And I want you to think about what is the main difference between a believer in Jesus Christ and a non-believer. What's the main difference? And let me give you the answer. It is that a believer has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that right? That would be probably the major difference. An unbeliever does not have a relationship with Jesus. A believer in Jesus has a personal relationship with Jesus. So let me take that just a step further. If you are praying about a new job, and an unbeliever is praying or thinking about, I should say that way, a new job, is there any difference in the way these two people are going to approach this situation? Of course there is. Because the unbeliever gathers facts and tries to make the best decision he can, but the believer gathers facts and asks God what his will is. And God can lead you. And wouldn't you rather make decisions based on God's knowledge than on yours? Because God knows if the company interviewing you is going to go out of business in a year. But if you have a thought that God doesn't speak anymore, I really don't mean this condescending. I mean it the way I'm saying it. I feel so sorry for you. That you have a personal relationship with someone who never speaks to you. I don't know how personal that is. Let me make this statement to start the series. Hearing God is not something you do. It's someone you are. And if you don't understand that, you may not understand the concept of hearing God. So it's not something you do. It's someone you are. So here's the title of the first message, and granted it's a little different, but the title is, I'm a sheep. Okay, John chapter 10, Jesus is contrasting himself as the good shepherd with the thief, the robber, who is Satan, all right? So John chapter 10, look at verse 1. We're talking about we're sheep and we can hear God. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. Now watch this carefully. And the sheep, watch, hear his voice. Can you just say those three words? Hear his voice. It does not say sense his impressions. And I'm not saying that God doesn't give us impressions. I just simply am literally blown away. And when I say that, again, I'm not saying it condescendingly, because I used to be of the theological persuasion that believed that God didn't speak anymore. And I'm shocked that I could have ever believed that. That he's just has chosen not to speak anymore since he wrote us a letter. And we have his word, but now he doesn't communicate personally to his children. I'm just shocked that I could have ever thought that way. Hear his voice. That's the Bible. His sheep hear his voice. And he calls. So the way you call is your voice. His own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know what? His voice. And if you have any doubt that this is talking about Jesus, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. So Jesus said, we know it, but just in case you have a doubt, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now look at verse 16. John 10, 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Now look at me just for a moment. He is now speaking about the Gentiles. He's talking to Jewish people, and he says, and you need to know, there are other sheep I have that are not of this fold, other sheep. There's not a theologian I've ever met in the world that doesn't know or believe this is talking about Gentiles. So that's most of us. You might be Jewish, but for the rest of us, thank God that he had another fold, okay? The Gentiles. Now watch this. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Watch. And they will, what? Hear my voice. Okay, I can hear God. That's what he's saying specifically. They will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. He's speaking of Jew and Gentile here. One flock. And then verse 27, just to make it really, really clear. John 10, 27. My sheep, say those three words, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. Okay, let me ask you a very simple question. Is Jesus the shepherd?
Yes.
Okay, are you following him?
Yes.
So then you're the sheep.
Yes.
And what do sheep do? They hear his voice. This is in red. This is Jesus. I don't really care what Dr. Fuzzy Face says. I care what this book says. It's clear, my sheep hear my voice. So let me tell you three things about the ability to hear God. All right, here's number one. It's innate. It's innate. In other words, you're born with it. It's inherent. It's natural. It's built in. It's instinct. It's hardwired. Our God is a speaking God. The whole reason that you have the ability to hear and speak is because you were created in the image of a hearing, speaking God. Why would he create you with the ability to communicate and then not communicate with you? That would be a horrible thing to do to you. To create you with the ability to communicate, and he has the ability to communicate, but he doesn't communicate to you. That'd be a horrible thing. And again, it's a horrendous line of thought. It's literally, let me give you the Greek word for it, it's baloney. Balagna is how it's pronounced in the Greek. This is what separates us from the animals. That God gave us the ability to communicate our deepest feelings, not only to other humans, but to him. And he communicates to us. And I know some of you say, well, animals can communicate. Yes, they can on some level. I understand that. But they can't communicate like we can. They can't. You know, I was watching the Discovery Channel one time. There's a guy sitting in a room all day listening to whales. He had these earphones on. He was listening to recordings of whales. Ooh. And then they said to this guy, what's he saying? I'm telling you the truth. That's also the thing. Here's what the guy said. He's lonely. I thought, no, you're lonely, pal. You need to get out of this room and go talk to some people. Just do an experiment. If you have a dog, go home and talk to your dog. But talk, say, here's what I want you to say. I want you to say it like this. You're so stupid. Yes, you are. You're the stupidest dog I ever saw. Yes. And just watch that dog just wag his tail. And just think you paid him the biggest compliment. And then I'm just thinking about animals again. Why do dogs bark at night? Has anyone figured that out? All night. All night. Row, 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 row. Row, row. And here's what we do. We open the door. Shut up! What do you expect the dog to do? My bad. I've always tried to figure out, what are they saying? You know, I'm trapped in the backyard. Help, 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 help. And then the neighbor dog joins in. Help him! I'm sure they have a level of communication. But they were not created. I'm not trying to put animals down. I know we all love animals, but I'm just telling you, they were not created in the image of God. But you were. And you were created in the image of a speaking God. And he created you with the ability to hear him because he says very clearly, I am the good shepherd and my sheep hear my voice. It's innate. You're born with the ability to hear God. Here's the second thing. It's learned. Now you might say, well, that's kind of a contrasting thought. You're saying I'm born with it, but you're saying I need to learn how to hear God. Absolutely. And I can give you the greatest example in the world, children. They're born with the ability to communicate, but they need to be taught. Is that right? They need to be taught words. They need to be taught sounds. They need to be taught grammar and language. They need to be taught what to say, and they need to be taught when to say it. Is that right? They learn in their ability to hear God. You know, if we said we're going to have a class on prayer, you'd say, that's, I need that. And even the disciples said, teach us to pray. But let me remind you that hearing God is the second half of prayer. Because if you can't hear God, why would you pray? Now, one reason is to make our requests and petitions be known to God. But God never intended prayer to be a giving of our to-do list to him every morning. He intended prayer to be communication between a father and his children. And if you'll just take some time and start to listen, you'll be amazed that he'll speak. But most of us do this. Now, I'm just going to give you an analogy. It's like someone is going to call you on the phone and talking for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and then hanging up before you ever have a chance to say anything. That's the way many Christians pray. God, I need this, need this, need this, need this, need this. Got to go. And God's thinking, would you like to hear what I have to say about that? Now, listen to me. Hearing God is not not dependent upon knowledge or depth or wisdom. It's simply dependent upon being taught. Because we all need to learn. Children need to learn. So it's innate. It's learned. Here's the third thing I want to tell you about the ability to hear God. It's matured. So the ability to hear God is innate. The ability to hear God is learned. And the ability to hear God is matured. Okay, let's think about children again. Do children need to mature in their communication skills? Okay, let me give you some examples just to help remind you. Children, before they're taught, will say things that you're not supposed to say. Man, are you fat? How old are you, Grandma? Okay. We don't ask Grandma how old she is. You just have to teach them. We're talking about maturity. Let me tell you a few philosophies of hearing God that are immature, okay? One is a message a minute. Now, I'm using Dallas Willard's phrase here. Dallas Willard was a great theologian, went to be with the Lord in 2013, wrote a book called Hearing God, and it's a great book. But he talked about this, a message a minute. These are the people that tell you, they hear God like 300 times a day, you know. You be in the restaurant, they'll say, God just told me not to put salt on my food. And you feel like saying, you could have read the article in Reader's Digest last month and, you know, too. Okay, and let me ask you this. Do you want God to have to tell you everything to do? Now, does God want to communicate with us on a regular basis? Yes, but for fellowship, not for instruction alone. I mean, all right, let me say it this way. What parent here wants to have to tell your children everything to do, even when they're in their 40s? Wouldn't you like them to grow up and learn how to make wise decisions? Certainly. Okay, I'm simply saying that God does speak, God can speak all day long to you, but the person that gets a word from God every minute, that's probably not the best philosophy to have, okay? So one's a message a minute. Here's the second way that philosophy is that I believe needs to be matured, is the point and hope philosophy. These are the people that I open my Bible, close my eyes, point it, and I hope I hear God, right? I hope I'm not in the begats. That's what I hope. Okay, now, I'm not saying that you can't open your Bible and it falls to a place that God speaks to you. That's obviously he can, and he can easily do that out of, 1,187 chapters, 31,103 verses, okay? God can do that. That's not hard for God. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't do that on every decision, okay? I actually have a friend of mine who was, this is true, he's a member of this church, in business, and his business was struggling. Okay, so that you got to catch that, because it might take you a moment to catch what happened to him. His business was struggling. He'd heard someone say that, so he closed his eyes, opened his Bible, put his finger down, and this is what he read, chapter 13. Now, that's not the word you want from God when you're asking God about the future of your business, okay? By the way, one of the things that Dallas Willard said in his book was that he heard this minister one time say that God had shown him how everyone can have a life verse, and it's by taking the year you were born and using that as the chapter and the verse. Okay, the only problem with that is most of us are born 19-something, and the 19th chapter of Joshua has the most verses in it, and it has 51. 1951, Joshua. So if you were born after 1951, no life verse for you. But Dallas Willard heard this guy say it, so he thought, well, I'll just, I was born in 1935, so I'll just see if God has a life verse. So he went to the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1935. This is what it says. So they got drunk and slept with him. That was his life. Okay, so I don't believe in that philosophy. I think you ought to mature from the point and hope philosophy. Here's the last one, the que sera, sera philosophy. Que sera, sera. They really don't know whether the guy took it from Spanish or Italian. It's close to each language, but doesn't really work in either language. But the American who wrote it thought it did. But what it means is, whatever will be, Doris Day singing. How many of you remember Doris Day singing? Okay, we're going to have to get some younger people in the church. So, I do too. I remember. Okay, but it's whatever will be, will be. Okay, that's not a good philosophy about hearing God. What it basically means is, whatever I choose, that's just God's will. But it's not God's will. Your choice is not always God's desire for your life. So we need to mature to the place where we can hear God's voice and make the right decision. So I want to give you an example of what just happened just a couple months ago, and I haven't told you this. I've been waiting. I just thought about it with this series, and I thought, wow, what a great example of God speaking and why God speaks. This is the last Christmas card that we sent, a picture of my family. And so you can see there on your right is my oldest son, Josh, his wife, Hannah, Grady, and Willow. Debbie and I in the middle there, and then on your left, Ethan, my son-in-law, and Elaine, and their two daughters. And you can kind of tell Ethan is my son-in-law. Well, I mean, it's obvious. He's taller than the rest of the family. And then James and Bridget, my son and daughter-in-law, and their two boys. Okay, so, by the way, Ethan and Elaine, they have two girls. They're pregnant with their third, and it's a boy. So they're pregnant. But my son, James, on the left, they're on the seat on the bench, and his wife sings on the worship team at Southlake, son Bridget. They have two boys, but they've also had two miscarriages, and they've had a difficult time. So they've been praying whether to have another child or not, because she's had a difficult time during pregnancy. And so we had our fast, our 21-day fast, if you remember, January 10th through the 31st. And she was praying that if they were supposed to have another child, that God, someone close to them would give them a word during the 21-day fast. And on January 31st, I was standing on the front row about to preach. It was during worship. I was just worshiping God. I looked up. Bridget was standing like right here, almost in front of me, leading worship. And the Lord said to me, Bridget's pregnant. On the last day of the 21-day fast, and she'd been praying. So that night, we were having a family meal. Just happened. And I said, I have an announcement to make. Well, I did. And so they were like, oh, okay, what's your announcement? And I said, Bridget's pregnant. And everyone kind of laughed, you know, and then James and Bridget, they looked at me like, are you serious? I said, yes, I'm serious. Bridget's pregnant. I could see the look on Bridget's face as she's processing because she'd prayed this and she had not told James that she had prayed this. She just prayed someone close to them would give them a word. So she's processing. And so then James said, well, she's not pregnant. I didn't say that. She's not pregnant. It's impossible. She's not pregnant. And I said, well, say whatever you want. I'm telling you, the Lord said she's pregnant. So because I was so strong, and they kept coming back to me, even before they left, they came over and said, now, are you serious about? I said, I'm serious. God said it. So they went to the doctor. And the doctor said, well, you're not pregnant. As a matter of fact, your progesterone levels are too low for you to even get pregnant. It would be impossible for you to get pregnant right now. And that's why she miscarried twice, is because her progesterone, a hormone that your body should produce, was not being produced at the level it should be. And so that's why she miscarried twice. And so in the pregnancy with her other son there, she took it so that, you know, it would help her not to miscarry. So he said, well, it's impossible, actually. You couldn't get pregnant. And but if you're even thinking about it, you should start taking progesterone. And so they said, because I had that word and I was so strong about it, they said, we feel like, well, I'll just start taking it then. So she started taking the medicine. Well, she went back a few weeks later to check her level, and the doctor checked her level, and then he said, you're pregnant. And they said, we thought you said our level was too low to get pregnant. He said, well, I don't know how it happened, but you're pregnant. And so they said, well, you know, you count so many days, and also, how long am I pregnant? And he said, 4 weeks and 6 days. And they went back, and January 31st, when I gave him the word, was 4 weeks and 5 days. She'd been pregnant one day. Now, I'm not saying that so that we get excited about an accurate prophetic word. I'm saying that because I believe God gave the word to save the baby's life. So that she would start taking the medicine that she needed to be able to carry the baby. You see what I'm saying? Here's the bottom line. I'm a sheep. By the way, it didn't say my shepherds hear my voice. I mean, we hope they do. But it says my sheep. God wants to speak to you. One of the greatest scriptures in all of the Bible, my sheep hear my voice. And because we're sheep, it's innate, but it's also learned. I want to encourage you to do something, and that is to order the book and the CDs, the DVDs, however you want to do it. The reason is I want you to be able to hear God. I want you to learn how to hear God's voice. Jesus loves you. He is our great shepherd. We are his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice. Hey, tune in next week because we're going to continue this series, Frequency. Tune in and hear God.